My heart is beating so fast. A little nervous. I wanted to thank you for this opportunity to have planted the seed of this bigger vision. And I had a little glimpse of the bigger heart, I believe, about a year ago. And I had I was at home and became very ill and couldn't hardly breathe. And my friend was there and he wanted to take me to the hospital. I said, oh no, they won't know what to do with me there. So I went through this experience and I really didn't know what to call it, but days later I realized I was passing kidney stones. It was very painful. And my heart was like having problems after that. And some friends said, oh, you need to go see a cardiologist. And I said, no, I can't go do, no. So what happened is I did exactly what my Tibetan teacher always says to do. He goes, it wants your attention. So I went into a deep meditation and I began to fall into a timeless realm, some abyss. And I sort of passed into a past life and was watching how there was no time and no space. And I began picking like the dead leaves off of this body that I was in a previous life, a little Mayan girl about 5 years old. And she probably had had her heart ripped out and thrown into a well or something like that, how I got in touch with it. And then as I looked closer, I began seeing that this little limp body didn't die. She never died. And she was never born. And then this light began to come out of the darkness of my own heart, and this blood, I was in my heart and I saw this blood just keep bubbling up, bubbling and bubbling, and I realized that there was no source inside of my body to this bubbling, and that the source was connected to all of the planets and all of the universes, and I had this all inside of my heart. What was really unique is that there was a sense of compassion that took over. And I could see with compassionate eyes, everything was love. And so I had a little glimpse of the bigger heart. And I try to remember from time to time about the source of this blood that is connected to more than just my physical heart. Anyway. I haven't really shared this with too many people.
Thank you. No, thank you so much.
I have a question.
Alejandra has a question. So she's up here.
I don't need the mic.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. After some of these experiences, my question is, and because I haven't found an answer within myself, is when things deconstruct in such a way, how do you continue living?
Yeah, that is my question. You know, that's it. I mean, you know, the Sufis talk about bewilderment, and I think it's kind of very important to bring that into the picture. How do we live that bewilderment in our daily life? You know, I have to say, I was so happy after this experience because I found the part of me that I've been looking for. But how do you live that? Of course, you know, it was such an irony. This was the part of me that I was missing, but it wasn't me. It was separated from me by an infinite abyss that I was never going to be able to cross because no human can. So when Shamsi Tabriz says it's a long journey, he knows what it means. So what do we do? Do we just live that bewilderment? I mean, do we just? And you know, what is the fear also in allowing things to be deconstructed? You know, you can have the different levels of the heart. But I think it's very important also to say that if you go from level one to level two, there is, there is the loss of level one. It's not just finding something new. The first level, the identification with that, is deconstructed. Every move forward is a death. And I think, you know, really what I have to ask myself, and maybe what we can ask each other, is, are we willing to die to our certainties, to move into what is needed for the future, inside ourselves and also collectively? Do you know what I mean? What do you say?
For me, it has been increasingly more difficult. I see what you mean about the happiness, and there is a part that where you find yourself, and but there is another, as you say, is that things, this reality, this what we call reality, becomes so fragile.
But that's one of the things that I found so interesting, Alejandro, was to see it's not fragile, because there's an incredible, very, very powerful, extremely convincing trickster mind that keeps this going.
What when the mind somehow... What when this reality starts hitting against the mind up to the point that the mind starts losing the capacity of gripping?
But the mind is a part of reality. Oh, okay. That's what I love personally about the teaching of Empedocles and Parmenides, is that they say, well, you can't exclude unreality from reality,
no,
because illusion is a part of the truth. And the mind is a very, very real part of reality. In my experience, I mean, maybe you're beyond that, I don't know.
I am wondering with you, because for me, it has become, it's very difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. And why should it not be difficult? I mean, whoever said it was going to be easy? You know, I find it so extraordinary. These are such tremendous realities. You know, I was just given a tiny little glimpse of a glimpse of the enormity of these realities. And somehow we're a part of them. Somehow these enormous realities are a part of us. And it's not that everything becomes unreal. But maybe just what we expected, what we were familiar with, is starting to kind of, you know, crack a bit at the seams. Yes, my dear.
Thank you. Your vision brought to mind one of the principles, and we've been given the principles, I feel, to help us in this confusion. And just this morning, I read number 6, and it starts, travel one way, the return to God, single-minded pursuit of divine truth. Remember that you belong somewhere, and your goal is to attain reality. And my heart was leapt to be shown that reality at all. And I guess you just have to muddle your way along in that one direction, perhaps. But I thought the principles perhaps can be helpful.
Yeah. There you go, Alejandro, number six. That's one. Could you read it again for us, lost Sufis, please?
It's just the beginning. It says, number six, returning, going back. Travel one way, the return to God, single-minded pursuit of divine truth. Remember that you belong somewhere, and your goal is to attain reality.
Yeah, and what if you're shown that you can never get there?
You keep traveling, I guess.
Okay, there we go. You keep traveling, Alejandro. Have a good night's sleep and then get up early in the morning. Put on our hiking boots again. That's very good advice. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Very, very wonderful advice. Yes? The lady at the back.
Am I at a good distance?
I'm sorry?
Just can you hear me?
Can you eat the microphone? Here we have disposable microphones. You have to swallow it. Go right for it. You know.
I was reading Llewellyn's Love is a Fire and I Am Wood. And you were talking about reality and illusion. And you were talking about this world as if it is the reality and all the trips we're going through are the reality.
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
That all the trips we're going through in this world are the reality.
The trips.
Trips, you know, all the movies, all the payoffs.
Trips is when you trip and fall over?
Trips is when you realize, when you don't realize that you are an eternal spiritual being having a physical experience. And the only reality is your relationship to the beloved within. All else is illusion, a dream that we're going through. The Hindus call it Maya.
Uh-huh.
And when you live in that and realize that, then the rest becomes simple and easy. You just walk through it saying, Allah, Allah, Allah.
Wonderful. Great. And this is, what's the name of Llewellyn's book? What's the name of it? Oh, I see, okay. But could I just ask you for a moment, my dear? I'm very interested in this because I had this experience just a few days ago, actually just when I came out to California. I was in the bathroom, actually, and I suddenly had this experience. I believe it's what you're saying, and maybe I'm going in the right direction, and I don't know. It was just for a split second. I actually saw that I was not a human being at all, but I was something, I was a consciousness from very, 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 very far away inhabiting a human body.
Yes.
Is that what you're referring to?
Yes, that's exactly it.
Okay, so I'm on the right path after all.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Great, thank
you. The more you can stay in that remembrance...
I'm sorry?
The more you can stay in that remembrance...
I can't remember it.
You just said it, so you must remember.
No, I mean, I can't, you know, it's either there or it's not. And that was what I found so strange about, so haunting about the experience. There's no way I can do anything about it. Because it is there. And it is me, but it's not me. And it is so familiar, but it is so totally alien. And I was very aware at the time, there's nothing I can do to repeat that.
Well, there is, but it means giving up the world.
Oh.
Recognizing the world as an illusion and not living in it anymore.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yes, it is possible it's that to easy? Live in that space.
I'm sorry?
It is possible to stay in that space.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much. Thank
You're
you.
Welcome.
Meditate on that. Okay. Great. Yes, my dear. Lady in blue. Thank you for what you said. That's very helpful.
When you were describing the appearance of the curtain in the cosmic mind, I experienced the present. I experienced myself inside a very radiant, feminine figure. It wasn't a figure, it was just light.
A radiant, feminine figure.
And she said she was she. And I was in it. And she was in my heart and in my body.
I'm sorry, could you say that again?
She was in my heart and in my body. And she had been there forever. And before I was born. And that my path was to understand the universal heart through the personal heart.
One quick question, Peter, before I say any, start off. Does this resemble at all something that you got when you spoke about the petroglyph in New Mexico and your experience of suddenly seeing that there was something completely cosmic beyond what everybody had perceived in the one corner of the petroglyph up to that time?
No, I don't think so. I haven't really looked at it, but I don't think so.
Okay. It just came to mind when you were talking, that experience that you had related.
This is just a bewilderment.
Yes.
Just to see that I get further and further and further away from the heart.
Yes. I read once that, I think I remember where I read it, but the world is held together by stories and compassion. And the feeling of the tension in this is between the mind that is trying to comprehend how it can hold together the experience and knowing that it can't. It's like the opening of the Heart Sutra. Everything is in essence empty.
Yeah.
There's a part of me that just says, of course, when you describe this thing.
Thank you. Does anybody else have something from their heart they would really like or need to say? Something from deep, deep inside. You know, that now is an opportunity to say something that you may not have a chance to say anywhere else. You need to seize this particular opportunity because it may never come round again. Something really urgent. Oh, yes, gentleman there. Can you throw the microphone across or something? Jeanette can get it.
Shams' quote just blew me out of the water, and I wasn't even able to recall the second one that you had shared. The key word that strikes me really clearly here is the word you said of watch. You know, to be the witness with the mind, which mind, which trick.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that faithful and true action of just watching.
Yeah.
Clearing away the space, even when the doubt and bewilderment is there.
Even what?
Even when the doubt and bewilderment seems to be there.
Yeah, and then it doesn't matter, because then you have no heart, you have no body, and you're watching. What are you watching? You're actually watching something so huge. It doesn't matter you don't have a body anymore, because you're just watching.
Yes, and relinquishing everything else with that body.
Yeah, and God willing, the watching can be an act of service. In watching, we are serving the whole. We don't care how close we are, or how far, we don't need anything for ourselves, we don't need to have an experience for ourselves, because we just are here watching and watching and watching for hundreds and thousands of years in this deep, dark place which has no arms and no legs and no heart of its own and nothing of its own, and just gives itself in service to the whole, which is so vast it's beyond conception or imagination. Isn't that what we're all here for? I don't know. It kind of rings a bell for me somewhere. Just to open things up a little bit, you know? We let our heart go into the cosmic heart, and sure, it's unattainable. Who cares? Keep wading through the infinite abyss and not getting any nearer, but who cares? We just watch and watch and watch, yeah? The watching, definitely for me, that is the clue. But it's not just a cold watching. This is the watching in eternity. This is where we can actually go into this deep, watchful part of us that is a part of eternity, and knows that this act of watching is so supremely important, because the watching is what sustains and creates and destroys all of creation in the right time. Yeah?
Yes.
Then we're a part of the cosmos and we have no body. I mean, why do we need our own heart if we see the heart of the cosmos? Who needs their own heart? I mean, it's such a little affair. But I just find it so wonderful. You know, the cosmos has a heart. There is a heart which is a universe in itself, which is the heart of all the universes. And this Western civilization has a heart. Let's not forget that too. Because it too is a part of the great creation. This Western civilization too is a living organism. It was brought into existence for a very specific sacred purpose. And it has a life of its own, it has a destiny of its own, it has a heart of its own. And perhaps by watching that heart in the depths of ourselves, we can actually help this civilization through this very, very critical time it's coming to now. So I think on that note, yes, somebody at the back.
I just got a sense in that meditation of, in going into the heart, there was a sense that we needed to take the light.
I'm sorry, could you say that again? It's very hard to hear you.
there was a sense that we need to take the light. I got an image of a light being created with all of us in the center of the room. And there was also help being given.
There was also...
help?
Yeah.
And a sense that that light needed to consciously be given back, maybe to the goddess, to the cosmos.
I don't know that we need to. I mean, it's up to you. I don't know what you saw, but I don't personally feel that anything needs to be given or taken or anything. I just ask that, you know, they be with us. If the light is there, that's wonderful. If it's not, we grope in the darkness. Would you like to say anything more about what you saw? Just one more question, and then we must make way for Sheikh Llewellyn. No, just it's already been chosen. Yes.
Well,
my time is running out, as always.
I've had similar experiences to the one you described. You had. Except that there wasn't the visual. That was just the felt sense of myself as what I am being, not actually this body, but far beyond that. But there wasn't the sense of being farther away from the heart or the source.
Wonderful.
I guess what I wanted to know, or what the question that came up was, when you experienced that of it being farther away, where was the looking from? Like, was the looking from the mind, or was the looking from that which you discovered yourself to be?
It was from where I am. But I'm a bad boy. You know, I'm probably put so far away from the heart into the outer reaches and the depths of purgatory that, you know, you're fortunate, you know, you stay closer. I'm the worst example, you know, I'm put into exile the other side of infinity from the heart. You know, so don't take me as an example. Everything I just said was just a little, it's like the doves, cuckoo, you know, that's all. Cuckoo, that's all. So we can go, just forget it all, everything. It's just a little, the brooding of the doves, you know, that's all. Cuckoo, nothing else, just cuckoo. Yeah, thank you all very, very much. Nothing to take seriously.